Welcome to this series of Publifunded Climate Connected podcasts, where we talk to people involved in community climate action all around Ireland. Energy Cooperatives Ireland has worked with dozens of Irish sustainable communities and has established 5 fully operational energy cooperatives. Many of these communities have become innovators and promoters of the carbon-free society at the local level and in some cases at the national level. Today I'm talking to Stephanie Brennan, who is a project assistant with the Aran Islands Energy Co-op. The Aran Islands are 3 beautiful islands off the west coast of Ireland. And you're very welcome to the podcast, Stephanie.
Thanks, Maeve. It's lovely to be here with you today.
Now, maybe you could tell our listeners briefly, what is the brief of the Aran Islands Energy Co-op? I know it's a community-based group based over the 3 islands.
That's right. And it was established in 2012. It's totally community-owned. And there's a one-person, one-share policy. So there are no big shareholders. It's just one person, one share, and you need to be living on the Aran Islands to have a share. And I suppose the 3 main aims of the co-op were to become self-sufficient in energy production, but also to move towards carbon neutrality through 3 ways: the insulation of houses, the electrification of heat and transport, and then the generation of our own energy. And obviously, you know, we're still on the road to carbon neutrality. It's not an easy thing, but they are the 3 main aims. And maintaining the Irish language, maintaining a population on the islands by having the cooperative and by being able to provide jobs for people, and also by keeping the biodiversity and keeping the landscape and the heritage very much intact in as much as possible to go hand in hand with the energy transition.
Okay, so a very broad brief there, and all community really have come on board, as far as I understand. So tell us about your involvement, Stephanie, and how did you first become involved with the project?
Well, I'm not originally from the Aran Islands, Maeve. I moved to Inishmore in 2000 and did a variety of different jobs, from working as a cleaner in the hostel to receptionist, hotel receptionist. And also in my training as a speech and language therapist, I provided a clinical service to the 3 islands and also did some research. And after teaching in the University of Galway for 2 years up to 2022, I saw a post advertised in the summer of 2022 to cover the maternity leave of the manager, Avril Nihiarchy. And I thought, OK, this aligns with my principles, and I felt my experience would stand to me in the job. And so I did the interview, and that's how come I came to be involved.
And what is the focus of your role now, Stephanie, in the organisation?
Well, it's a very broad role, Maeve, because we just have 2 full-time employees and 2 part-time employees, because now I'm a part-time employee. So we're involved with many European and nationally funded projects, because that's the only way we get funding. We don't have government funding. We don't have funding from a body, say, like Údarás na Gaeltachta. And so by being involved in European projects as what they call pilot sites or validation cases, we provide the Aran Islands and work with partners all over Europe. So part of my work is being part of these European projects, attending meetings, liaising with the community here. I also work in publishing our quarterly newsletter, which you can access on our website, www.aranislandsenergycoop.ie, and you can sign up for it there. That tells all about what we're doing. And also, I work at keeping people up to date in, say, grants that may be available. And also, I facilitate students from universities from all over Europe that might come to do some of their work here, say, for example, on their doctorate or on as part of master studies.
That's amazing. So the work that you guys are doing there and the initiatives that you're implementing, that's all feeding into European knowledge base in relation to climate action.
Absolutely. And on the Aran Islands, what we want to do, what we already are, I suppose, is a lighthouse island or a lighthouse community for trialing maybe new and innovative technologies that can be then scaled up at a bigger level. And we're, I suppose, a small area, and so that the inputs and outputs are measurably, easily measurable. And so, as I say, there's huge interest, then the kind of projects that we can carry out here may also be able to be carried out in Ireland and in Europe as well. And we have links with other islands across Europe. We're one of the 30 islands for 2030, moving towards decarbonisation for 2030. And I actually just came back last week from a big conference in the Azores of Portugal, where there were islands from all over Europe. And going to functions like that is fantastic in terms of learning from people on other islands and also being able to talk with them about the challenges and the strengths that they have.
And we should say that the website climateconnected.ie has lots of resources for people who would like to initiate such similar projects in their own area.
Absolutely. Lots of resources there, from starting from very small. As I said, I'm a relatively recently a new employee with the Corecommon, but it started in 2012 and they didn't have any full-time employees. That didn't happen until 2018. So if you're working from a voluntary basis, which many of the communities all over Ireland are doing, the kind of resources that are at climateconnected.ie are fantastic, from how you start out and working your way up, say, for example, how to get involved with nationally and European funded projects. Mm-hmm. Also, another very good resource is the wheel.ie. That's the www.wheel.ie. And they have a lot of community resources and being able to link you up, say, with projects that might be going on in the EU as well.
Fantastic. Yes, I know from my own experience of working in the voluntary sector that there's a huge amount of collaboration and support within the sector from all kinds of areas, and access to training and mentoring and all kinds of good things, so that people don't have to feel they're on their own if they're starting a project like this or want to do something similar in their own area. So,
that's
Stephanie, I'm sure you're aware there's a certain cynicism among a lot of people about climate action. Could you tell us maybe how the people of the Aran Islands have benefited in practical ways from the work of the Energy Co-op?
Well, in terms of practical ways, I suppose the first thing is the insulation of houses. And about 60% of the houses across the island have had some form of retrofitting or insulation done in their houses. And that might be just, for example, an insulation in the attic to a full wraparound insulation. And that was through various schemes that were funded or part funded. And obviously that makes their homes more comfortable, as well as reducing the carbon impact of, so they don't have to use as much fuel to heat their home, and also there are less emissions. So that's the first thing, having more comfortable homes. Mm-hmm. And then the second way that people have benefited, it's through having solar panels on their roof, so that they're generating their own electricity. And we know that from people, because I feel it's very important to ask people, you know, what benefits are you getting from, for example, having the solar panels? And one thing they were saying, that they could see the electricity being generated straight away and that their bills dropped considerably almost immediately. And if they have a link up to their hot water tank as well, that they had, you know, a full hot water tank. So that's less for them to spend on electricity. And also, you know, from the climate side, that's lessening the amount of fossil fuels they're using for these kind of things.
Okay, so this is something that everybody can identify with. Anything that can bring down our bills, and certainly in Ireland, our energy bills can be very high. So these are very practical ways, insulation and solar panels, that actually conserve heat and generate energy. So these projects then were part funded, is that right, Stephanie? Did the residents have to contribute something towards these upgrades?
Yes, they would. So some of them they would, and some of them, depending on, you know, through various different schemes like the warmer home schemes. And you can go on to the SEAI website, seai.ie, to read about the various different schemes. And some of the schemes, depending on your circumstances, they may be fully funded, and some you may have to pay a certain amount. There are grants towards most of the energy efficiency measures. Unfortunately, things on islands always cost a little bit more, Maeve, and it's only for some of those sort of projects that there's a slightly uplifted grant for the islands. But there are grants for those things like insulation, for mechanical ventilation, for putting in heat pumps, and also towards solar panels. And as I say, you'll see a full range of the grants if you go onto the SEAI website.
And was it difficult to get someone onto the island to do this work for you, Stephanie? Or did you have people on the island already who had these skills and expertise?
No, we don't have people on the island who'd have that kind of expertise because, say, for example, with the solar panels, it's very important that you have good roofers, and then you need the people who are able to put in the electrical installation of the solar panels and make all the connections. So we have to have contractors in. And as anyone living on an island will tell you, it's always very difficult to get contractors in. And that was one of the reasons why we carried out what's known as a solar mehel. And a mehel is, people may know, it's an old Irish word for a community coming together. In the past, it might have been to save the turf or bring in the hay or something like that. So the idea is to gather a number of households together and put tenders out to a contractor who is more inclined to come in where there are five or more houses to do the work, because it is more expensive to come into the island. They have to cover their transport of their van, of their materials, and then for contractors to stay on the islands over a few nights. So it does work out more expensive for them. And obviously, it's better for them if the houses can be together.
Okay, so people came together and joined forces really to make it viable for the contractors to come in to install the solar panels.
To make it attractive for the contractor, and then for them to be able to have a set number of houses together. And we're actually on our fourth round of that now here on the islands. And in the next round that'll be coming up this summer, just next month, we have people who are getting more panels, or people who are getting more battery storage. And the same thing happened in our third installation. And we've been very lucky with the contractors we've had, because they've provided a super after-sale service as well, which is obviously something that's very important. And we worked with Fitzgerald Electrical. So that's fitzgerald-electrical.ie. And they're a company working out of Ennis. They were really, really super to work with.
Well, a recommendation is always wonderful to have, isn't it, when you're getting work done and you don't know anything about it.
It is. And that's something, I suppose, for any community out there, you know, it can be a little bit slow to start. But we found that as time has gone on, because we're doing this since 2023 now, that if people could go and talk to their neighbours and see the inverter, for example, or see the app that the company provided, so they could see, you know, what kind of electricity was being produced, or the fact that there was no bill. All of that really helps. So I would say that to people, if you're thinking even of, you know, setting up an energy community, visit other communities or get in contact with other communities, and it'll start small and it'll start slowly. But as you said, having a recommendation or being able to talk to people is something that's really, really good.
It's great, because when I talk about the cynicism about climate action, a comment I often see online is that people think doing anything about climate is just going to mean more taxes. That's what they think. It's going to cost the money. Whereas projects like yours and in other communities around the country show that it really saves people money and makes them more independent, actually, less dependent on the grid. And also decreasing climate emissions at the same time.
That's it, exactly. And, you know, being self-sufficient, I suppose we all see that with the, you know, instability of the grid. We saw that in mainland Europe and even indeed ourselves with recent storms, you know, as you know, for people to be as independent in producing their own electricity as they can. And as you said, it is keeping emissions down. And payback depends, you know, in terms of if you're fitting solar panels, the payback can be between 5 and 10 years, depending on the size you put in and what sort of use you make out of it. For example, if you're baking commercially, which one of my neighbours is here, or if you're running a B&B, the payback would be much less because your electricity bills could be huge, but you're at zero electricity bills. Certainly, the person I was talking to locally here who's baking for the restaurants and that, she doesn't have any bills over the summer, which is fantastic to be able to see because the summer would be our busiest time here on the island.
Yes, in relation to our storms, listeners may not be aware that we had a storm earlier in the year, I think, wasn't it, here in Ireland?
That's right.
And in the west of Ireland, some people were without electricity and sometimes water as well for 2 weeks. And mobile phone coverage was also down for a while. And I don't think we've ever experienced anything quite like that in Ireland. And everybody was totally unprepared, I think, because we had no experience of it. So this is our future, unfortunately, it looks like. More extreme weather, more unpredictable weather. So projects like the Solar Mehl that allows people to be more independent in relation to their energy is really fundamental to all of us, I think. We all need to be thinking in this way.
Yes, I think so. And also the regulation needs to keep up with it, Maeve, as well, I suppose, because when the electricity came to the Aran Islands in the mid-70s, we had what was called a microgrid so that each island operated their own electricity system, but that was run off diesel generators. So the ideal, or as our chairperson, Dara O'Moylia, says, the holy grail is that we'd be producing our own electricity and be able to share it amongst the people on the island so that we'd be prosumers. But to do that, we need a microgrid. But unfortunately, our regulation system doesn't allow that at the moment in Ireland. There is talks about it, and the Commission for Regulation of Utility is working on it. But that would be ideal, say, for smaller communities or small towns and for ourselves here, so that if you were producing your own electricity, you could just sell it to your neighbour directly, say you didn't use it or things like that. So the grid and the flexibility and thinking outside the box has to come into it as we move into the future, as we move into the energy transition.
So we'll just mention again, climateconnected.ie is a website where you can find a lot more information and resources and connections if anybody would like to work in the area of climate action in their local area. And then seai.ie is the website for grants and schemes and more information about how to apply for these. So Stephanie, did you find that there was much resistance from your local community when you tried to initiate these projects there? How did you get people to come on board?
Well, as I said, maybe I'm a relatively new employee, but my sense from both the Aran Islands Energy Co-op or Corcum and Fuinneville on Oran, and indeed the development co-op on the island, is that it wasn't really difficult. Because there's a long history of self-sufficiency on the islands, from people literally making the land to, you know, building their own houses and to being self-sufficient in terms of food production. So the whole idea of, you know, producing their own energy, you know, didn't come as something strange to them. And especially since fuel has always had to be brought into the island. In the long ago times, turf coming in on the hookers from Galway to the modern day times, all our diesel and gas, the gas tanks have to come in on the cargo boat every week. So, you know, if people, which costs and costs a lot more, if people can generate their own electricity, why wouldn't they do it? So it was very easy. And also in terms of getting the houses insulated, as I said, it increase the comfort of people's homes. And there's a much higher proportion of stone-built homes on the Aran Islands than there are on the mainland. So they are a little bit more tricky in terms of heating, and therefore insulating them makes their home, people's homes, a lot more comfortable. And also, I think there's pride on the islands that we have been, you know, front runners. Say, for example, with the adoption of electric cars, there was a pilot project back in 2011 with the SEAI and Department of Community, Rural and Gaeltacht Affairs, where a certain number of electric cars were leased out to people here and also on Inishmallen and Inisir. And people used them and got to see, oh yeah, this, it's a perfect size on the island to use an electric car and it's worth running. And then when the pilot project finished, they bought electric cars themselves. So we were to the fore in that. And I suppose island people have always been outward looking. So adopting new technologies isn't something that's strange to them, or you know, being to the forefront in this. And they've just done the same with the energy transition.
Very practical and doable things for many people. You've been traveling a lot as well, Stephanie. You mentioned they're going to conferences in other countries. What do you feel that has contributed to the work of Aran? I'm sure you've learned a lot on those trips.
Yeah, certainly learned a lot. And the first thing is being able to meet people in the communities face to face. And we all know, having, you know, worked on Zoom and having to work online during COVID, that meeting people, you really can't beat that, and seeing things in action. And 2 years ago, this time 2 years ago, for example, I got to go to Barra, a small island in the Outer Hebrides, and it was great to see, you know, the challenges, both financial and logistical, that they had in setting up their community wind turbine, because you can feel sometimes as a community, we're the only people that are having difficulties. So to see that, but also to see the funds that they got out of being able to operate their community wind turbine, for example, to develop the marina in Barra, and so how these funds were used. But also good to know about how constraint and curtailment on the grid slows down the use of their electricity. And also just great to see small communities in Spain and in Italy, for example, how they're working. They are allowed to use microgrids, where they can share, say, between five houses, a school and an office, have a small solar farm operating and be able just to use it for the one community. So it was lovely to see that in operation. That was in the north of Spain. And to hear challenges about planning. For example, the Aran Islands are special areas of conservation. And so we have a lot of difficulty in the area of planning, be it for houses or for small energy projects. And we're not alone in that. You know, talking to somebody from a small island in Denmark, Faiu, last week, and he was saying the same issues apply there. So it's really great, just as I say, to talk to and meet people and learn about the kind of challenges they have, how they overcame them, mm-hmm. and being able to get advice from them. And they've all been so welcoming and friendly.
It certainly helps our motivation, doesn't it, when we feel we're part of something bigger and that many people are on the same road and you're all kind of forging new ground in your own individual areas.
That's it. And to have that kind of support, and even in terms of knowing about funding, for example, I met a guy from Madeira last week and he was saying, you know, we can't go into projects unless there's 100% funding, because that's the thing to know, depending on what kind of European project you go into, you might just get 50% funding or 75% funding. And in our case, as in his community's case, that's just not viable because we're not going to have the funding to bring it up to 100%. So, you know, knowing about what kind of grants are suitable for your type of community organization. And I think most of the communities are probably voluntary or they're not funded. So knowing that kind of thing is really important.
Sure. Well, I'm sure there's a huge amount of volunteering work going on in this area, certainly all around Ireland as well, because so many people really are conscious of our need to cut back on our carbon emissions, how to clean up the pollution that we're creating. There's a lot of goodwill in this area, I think, and to harness it together in a way that you guys have done in Aran. You've got your own organisation there, you've got some paid staff. Like, it's really a wonderful initiative, I think. So What would you say to a community listening that could be anywhere in the world who may not be on an island and may not have any of the structures in place yet that you guys have in Aran, Stephanie? Where should people start?
Well, if you're listening in Ireland, I'd say the first thing to do is to become an SEC or a Sustainable Energy Community. And if you go on to the seai.ie website, you can see about how to go about doing that and how to plan, learn and do. And you'll get a mentor who will work with you around that. So, and then the next part goes for any community, be they in Ireland or abroad, just to know what you want for your community. That's the first thing. What do you want to do? And then, as I said, organisations like The Wheel in Ireland, www.whel.ie, will give you advice and match you with maybe European funded projects. If you are an island, the cleanenergyislands.ec.europa.eu, there's great advice there. And contact other communities, attend free events, and as you said, the climateconnected.ie website is very useful if you're in Ireland. And the first thing is to come together, know what you want for your community, and it's okay to start small and then see about how you can leverage funding through either being part of national or European funded projects, or maybe your local council. For example, now in Ireland, all of the county councils have to have what they call decarbonising zones. And the Aran Islands are the only island decarbonising zone for all of Ireland. And there's a certain amount of funding coming from the government departments and from the county councils that will give you a little boost there. So knowing about those kind of things is important to get started. But the first thing is know what you would like for your community and come together as an organisation. And as you said, again, in climateconnected.ie, there's some great advice there about how to even get started.
So it's all very doable, actually. Like there on Aran, you've made enormous progress in this area, starting from scratch, really. It's possible.
It is possible and start small, and it takes time and it will be challenging, but know that the support is there. And as I said, you can read on our website, www.aranislandsenergycoop.ie, about the work that we do. And we have a quarterly newsletter, and they're all, you know, some of them are very small things, but you need to start small and then work from there. Mm-hmm. But it's nice to read positive stories. As you said, Maeve, there can be a lot of cynicism, mm-hmm. and a lot of bad news stories about climate. The young people are doing great things as well. So sometimes, mm-hmm. it's nice just to be able to read about what you can do as a small community.
Well, I think the young people are great as well now. I have to say they're very conscious and they're very committed and they bring a whole new fresh perspective to things. So I would certainly be roping them in any community where I'd be trying to implement something like this, for sure. And Stephanie, just to finish in relation to yourself, the work you're doing now seems quite a way away from your original training in a speech and language therapy. So what kind of satisfaction or rewards do you find you get from your work now?
I suppose I'm still communicating with people and I'm still making connections with people, Maeve. So that is something that's very important for me. And I also do a fair bit of mediating, if you want to call it that, between maybe some of the more technical partners and with the people on the ground, and explaining to these technical partners, say from Greece or Spain or whatever, and they have their own idea about if they're working on certain software or if they're working on electrical installations and or putting certain equipment to, say, read the temperature of a house into the house. And it's around explaining and saying, well, can you simplify that, or can you say it in a way that a householder will understand? And working in this area, I suppose it aligns very much with my principles from when I worked in a hotel at 19 in Germany and first saw rubbish being separated. I thought, oh, wow, I've never seen anything like this before. So I've always been quite conscious, I had my own garden here on the island for 7 years, and very conscious about buying locally and not being involved in fast fashion. So the whole being part of this area just aligns with my principles, and then getting the opportunity to being able to make the connections within the community and from the community out into Europe and the world. I've really, really enjoyed that.
Okay, wonderful. You're at the leading edge, really, of the kind of change, social change and technological change that we're all going to have to implement sooner rather than later, I think, which is exciting.
It's very exciting. And as I said, you know, that's the aim of the Aran Islands, to be one of these lighthouse communities, as we call them, that, you know, to show it's possible to start small and to trial small things and then build from there things that could be scaled up and used at a larger level, perhaps.
So, Stephanie Brennan, Project Assistant at the Aran Islands Energy Co-ops, thanks so much for taking the time to talk to us today. And you'll find more information at climateconnected.ie and also at aranislandsenergycoop.ie.
Maeve, it was lovely to talk to you.